بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد. الحمد لله. My dear respected brothers and elders, last week we finished a chapter, a very important chapter, which discussed the ahadith relating to spending on one's own family members. So we had been covering this chapter for a couple of weeks. And today, inshallah, we'll move on to the next chapter. This chapter is very small, so today's lesson, inshallah, won't be too long, because the chapter only has one hadith. The chapter only has one hadith. But it's also a very important chapter. Imam An-Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi has titled this chapter, Babu Talab al-Infaqi Mimma Yuhibbu wa Min al-Jeed. The chapter which discusses the virtues of spending from that which you love. So when a person comes to when it comes to spending in charity, spending on others, then the wealth that we spend should be that which is very dear to us, that we will miss it. Inshallah, I'll discuss this further. So he's only brought one hadith in this chapter regarding spending from wealth that you hold very dear to you, so that after you spend, you feel that loss. And I'm going to mention incidents of the Sahaba, subhanAllah, so amazing incidents from which we can understand how they would actually fulfill this obligation. The first ayat, Imam An-Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi brings, Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Qur'an, the first verse of the fourth juz of the Qur'an, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لن تنالوا البر حتى تنفقوا مما تحبون. None of you, لن تنالوا, you will never attain. You will never be able to attain albir, piety. Meaning you will never, it's not possible for you to become pious. Lang tanalu, when this lam noon, which comes at the beginning of a word, of a verb, gives the meaning of never ever will it be possible. So you will never be able to become pious, you will never be able to acquire piety. Hatta tunfiqu mimma tuhibbun, until you start spending from that which you love. So when you spend in charity, when you give in charity, you give from the wealth which you hold dear to yourself, not from that which you don't care about, not from that which won't affect you when you spend it. So the reality of piety, or the height of piety, is acquired when a person spends from their beloved possessions. And the next ayat, I'm going to explain all of this, inshallah. The next ayat is mentioned, Allah Ta'ala mentions the Qur'an, بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ يا أيها الذين آمنوا أنفقوا من طيبات ما كسبتم ومما أخرجنا لكم من الأرض ولا تيمموا الخبيث منه تنفقون ولستم بآخذيه إلا أن تغمضوا فيه واعلموا أن الله غني حميد. Verse Surah Al-Baqarah. In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the Sahaba who used to live in Medina, because the business of the Sahaba of Medina, the Ansar, was their orchards and, you know, harvesting. This is what they were good at. And the Sahaba who came from Makkah, the Muhajirun, they were better at trading in the marketplaces. They were businessmen. And the Ansar were farmers, etc. So what would happen is, once a year, or every time there would be a lot of crops, then what would happen is some of the Sahaba, they would bring to the masjid, especially the date from the date trees, they would bring big bunches of dates. And they would hang them up in Masjid al-Nabawi. And anyone who was poor and was struggling for food would just come and would just take some dates, or would bring a stick or something and would hit that, and a few dates would fall off and they would take those dates. So it would happen regularly. But then what some people started to do was, just, you know, like our people do this a lot. They just say, you know, I don't know what to do with it, just give it there. You know, when you don't have something and you don't know what to do with it, just give it there, someone may use it. We have this kind of idea. So some people, you know, when they would be farming or harvesting their dates, they'd see some dates which were quite bad. And they'd think, you know what, there's no point in me taking this home because I won't be able to eat it, my family won't be able to eat it. Just take it to the masjid and hang it up. So dates which were maybe not ripe enough, or maybe they were damaged. They say, just hang it in the masjid, maybe a poor person will come along and just take it. So the intention is not always bad, because we do it a lot, isn't it? When we think, oh, I can't use this myself, my wife will never accept this, I don't know, my children will never eat this, just give it to this other person. Better spent over there. At least someone will use it, at least I don't have to dispose of it or put it in the bin. So some Sahaba started to do this. They started to take the dates which nobody was ever going to use, or the dates that they were of inferior quality, and they started to kind of just hang them up in the masjid as well. As soon as this started to happen, Allah Ta'ala revealed this verse in the Qur'an. What does Allah Ta'ala say? Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who have brought iman, anfiqu min tayyibati ma kasabtum, spend from the best of your wealth, from the best of your wealth, wa mimma akhrajna lakum min al-ard, and from that which you harvest from the earth, the crops, the dates. Because addressing the Sahaba were farmers, they were those who used to work in the orchards and in the gardens. So from that which you are, the plants or the produce which you are growing, spend the best, only the best quality on people. وَلَا تَيَمَّمُ الْخَبِيثِ SubhanAllah, Allah Ta'ala is saying, وَلَا تَيَمَّمُ الْخَبِيثِ. When it comes to giving in charity, don't give the deficient, the inferior produce or the inferior assets, etc. وَلَا تَيَمَّمُ الْخَبِيثَ مِنْهُ تُنْفِقُونَ وَلَسْتُمْ بِآخِذِي. If somebody came to you and was to give you this, meaning, if somebody, these dates that nobody is going to use, you're not going to eat it at home. If somebody came and gifted you those dates, how would you feel? How would you feel? وَلَسْتُمْ بِآخِذِهِ إِلَّا أَن تُغْمِثُوا فِيهِ. Even if you were in need and you were desperate and somebody came to you with these battered and bruised dates or these dates which are damaged or which are not ripe, you'd only take them with your eyes closed. Meaning you'd only take them extremely unwillingly. You wouldn't want to take them, or you'd be very shy and very reluctant to take them. You'd only take them because you were desperate. Meaning you wouldn't take them with happiness. Oh, Jazakallah, my brother, forgive me these damaged goods. We wouldn't take it like that. We'd take it in a manner which is very, reprehensive, and we'd be very careful and very shy in taking it. We'd only take it if we have to. So this is what Allah Ta'ala is saying. Don't give this kind of thing in charity, that if it was given to you, if it was given to you, you'd only take it in a very careful manner, in a very unwilling manner. So this is what the Sahaba were told straight away. So the Sahaba, subhanAllah, when it came to spending in charity and when it came to giving, as soon as this verse was revealed, لَن تَنَارُ الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. From the Sahaba, you have certain Sahaba, for example, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu. It's known about him that if he ever felt any kind of love for any worldly possession, that I really like this object, I really like this item, straight away he'd give it in charity. He wouldn't hold on to it. Full practicing upon this verse. You can never acquire true piety until your sadaqah, your charity, is from the things that you love the most, that you hold dear the most. To the extent that Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, you know his servants, what they would start doing is they'd go to the masjid and they'd read these long namaz, these long units of prayer, and they start reciting Quran, and they spend a lot of time engaged in worship. Someone said to Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar, Oh, companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, do you know why your slaves do this? Because they want you to feel love towards them so that you free them. They're your slaves, your servants. They want you to look at them and think, oh, I really like this servant of mine. He's so pious. He worships Allah Ta'ala. And then when you feel this, you'll feel a connection towards him. You'll have this love towards him. So as soon as you feel this love towards something, he's a possession of yours, he's your slave, you will straight away give him for the sake of Allah. They know this, and that's the only reason why they're doing this. They're doing this to deceive you. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said, I don't mind being deceived for the sake of Allah. He's deceiving me, and what am I going to do in response? I'm going to give charity. It's not like I've lost anything. He said, I am happy, wallahi, I am happy to be deceived for the sake of Allah. This person is deceiving me, so I free him. To please Allah Ta'ala, I don't mind, I'll be deceived any day of the week. If he was riding upon a camel, and he would just feel the attraction that, you know, this camel is faster than my other camel, so it's a better conveyance. As soon as he would feel this, he would straight away give it in charity. People knew that you should never, you know, trust. Once, subhanAllah, one incident I was reading, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu was once on a journey somewhere, and he was craving fish, he wanted to eat fish. So they didn't have fish with them, the caravan of the people he was traveling didn't have fish with them. So his wife from somewhere found fish, she prepared it, obviously it must have been hard work, effort. She prepared it and she put it in front of him. As soon as he sat down to eat it, someone came, a beggar came asking. Straight away he said, give that fish to the beggar. His wife said, all of this time, ita'abtana, you've tired me, you've made me work so hard, put so much effort in, as soon as someone comes knocking, you're giving the fish away. Why don't you just give him a dirham or something, give him a coin, at least the person can use it however he wants to. He's a beggar, you don't know what he needs money for. He might need it for clothes, he might need it for food, he might need it for anything. He might not want fish, he might want to buy bread. If you gave him money, he could do anything with it. You don't need to give him this fish. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar said, well, this fish is something which I am desiring the most. The reason I'm giving it to the beggar is not because of what you're thinking. I'm giving it because this is what I am desiring the most. If I give this, I will feel the loss. I will feel it. And by this, I will be practicing upon this verse of the Quran, where Allah Ta'ala says, you should spend from that which you love. When you give in charity, give something which you will miss. And then this ayat is what I just explained. I'm going to do this incident, which is, this entire hadith narrated in this chapter is actually an incident. So we'll go through it inshallah. The hadith is narrated by Sayyidina Anas radiallahu anhu. He mentions, كان أبو طلحة أكثر الأمصار بالمدينة مالا. He said, Abu Talha, this hadith is narrated by Anas radiallahu anhu. And he says that there was a person called Abu Talha, and from amongst the Ansar, the Sahaba of Medina, he was someone who Allah had blessed with a lot of wealth. Abu Talha was actually the stepfather of the same Sahabi Anas radiallahu anhu, who is narrating this hadith. And it's a beautiful story, and I've mentioned it, in Sanatain I've mentioned it. The Sayyidina Anas radiallahu anhu's mother was Umm Sulaym. And Umm Sulaym, her husband had passed away. So she was a widow. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated to Medina, she was one of the early Muslims. She brought Anas radiallahu anhu, a boy of 9 years old. And she said, Ya Rasulullah, I am so happy that you have moved, you have migrated to Medina. I want to give you a gift, but I need to give you something precious, something valuable. The only thing which I have valuable and that I love the most is my son Anas. So I want to give him to you as a gift. So Sayyidina Anas radiallahu anhu, from that time, from the age of 9 till the age of 19, 10 years, this was how long Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam lived in Medina before he passed away. He said, this entire time I was the, like you could say, the servant or the khadim, the helper of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this Umm Sulaym, subhanallah, this person Abu Talha proposed to her. This Sahabi Abu Talha, before he became a Muslim, he proposed to Anas's mother Umm Sulaym radiallahu anha. Umm Sulaym said, oh Abu Talha, I've heard many good things about you. You're a good man, but you're not a Muslim. Said, if you become a Muslim, you don't need to give me any mahar, any dowry, anything. I will accept that, and in return of that, I will get married to you. So Sayyidina Abu Talha radiallahu anhu became a Muslim, and he was very strong. You will understand from this how strong his iman was always in every single battle with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was the Sahabi who actually carried the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He dug the grave of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he actually was one of those who carried Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam into his blessed grave, and he actually buried him. So this incident is about him. Anas radiallahu anhu, when he would talk about Abu Talha, he wouldn't say my father, because he wasn't his father. He would say Abu Talha, and he'd mention. And he knew a lot of incidents about him because he's his stepfather. So he says that Abu Talha radiallahu anhu was from amongst the most wealthy people from the Ansar. And his malan min nakhlin, and his wealth was in his date trees. He had many, many date trees. He had orchards of date trees. وَكَانَ أَحَبُّ أَمْوَالِهِ إِلَيْهِ بَيْرُحَاءَ. And the most beloved asset to Abu Talha was an orchard which was called Bayruha. He had an orchard. Orchard is a big, you could say a garden, filled with date trees. Some scholars have mentioned that there were 100 to 200, if not more, date trees just in this orchard of his. And you could say, because of this, this was the capital of Sayyidina Abu Talha radiallahu anhu's wealth. This orchard called Bayruha. Some have said Biruha, Bayruha. There's so many different spellings that have been mentioned. وَكَانَتْ مُسْتَقْبِلَ الْمَسْجِدِ. And this orchard used to be very close to the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. About 80 meters to the eastern side of Masjid al-Nabawi, this orchard was located. Today these things don't exist anymore because some people have just flattened everything that had any kind of connection with. The intentions were noble. They said that we think people might come and do innovations, etc. They might take things and do things. But for hundreds of years, these things were preserved. The Prophet ﷺ's house, the birthplace of the Prophet ﷺ. The Muslims respected these places, honored these places, would go there and visit these places and would remember the Messenger of Allah ﷺ. And they came along and they flattened everything. So now there's no evidence, nobody knows. To the extent that they actually made the birthplace of the Prophet ﷺ into a public toilet. The intentions were noble, but the actions were not noble at all. Anyway, so Sayyidina Abu Talha radiallahu anhu, so his orchard, Bayruha, was very close to the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَكَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam يَدْخُلُهَا وَيَشْرَبُ مِنْ مَاءٍ فِيهَا طَيِّبٍ. This orchard was not only something that Abu Talha radiallahu anhu benefited from. Even Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would enter into this orchard. He would, you know, enjoy, he would take some, have some leisure time walking in that orchard. He would drink from the delicious kind of water which would be in that orchard. Think about it, it was very, very organic, fresh kind of place. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would go there to clear his mind. Because he was close to the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would just go there and spend a lot of time there. Qala Anas, Anas radiyallahu anhu says, فَلَمَّا نَزَلَتْ هَذِهِ الْآيَةُ لَنْ تَنَالُ الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. When this ayat was revealed, you cannot be a true believer, you cannot attain piety until you give in charity that which you love. قَامَ أَبُو طَلْحَةَ إِلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Sayyidina Abu Talha radiyallahu anhu came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَقَالَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, he said, O Messenger of Allah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يَقُولُ لَنْ تَنَالُ الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. Allah Ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran, you cannot attain piety until you spend from that which you love. وَإِنَّ أَحَبَّ مَالِي إِلَيَّ بَيْرُحَا. And my most beloved possession is بَيْرُحَا, this garden. وَإِنَّهَا صَدَقَةٌ لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى. I am giving this as charity for the sake of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. أَرْجُو بِرَّهَا وَذُخْرَهَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. So this is when the Sahaba would spend in charity, the intention was so clear and so clean. So he's saying, أَرْجُو بِرَّهَا. Ya Rasulullah, whatever good will come of giving this in charity, that whatever good Allah will give me back, I am hoping for this reward, I am hoping for this goodness. وَذُخْرَهَا. ذُخْرٌ means, in the hereafter, whatever Allah Ta'ala will prepare in replacement or in lieu of this orchard, this is what I want from Allah Ta'ala. فَضَعْهَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ حَيْثُ أَرَاكَ اللَّهِ. So, O Rasulullah, take this garden and spend it wherever you wish. Sahaba used to do this. Like when I give in charity, I think I'm going to look at Ummah Welfare Trust. I think this is a good cause to give. I think this masjid is being built, it's a good cause. This madrasa, this certain orphan is in need, this widow is in need. These are good, they are all good causes. But the Sahaba wouldn't use their own mind. They'd come and say, Ya Rasulullah, what's the best place for me to spend this? You tell me. And wherever you think this is best to spend it, please spend it there. Because who would know better than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What is good for me? What is best for me? So فَضَعْهَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ حَيْثُ أَرَاكَ اللَّهِ. Ya Rasulullah, please spend it wherever Allah Ta'ala wishes you to spend it. فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was so surprised by this. Look at Abu Talha's submission, look at Abu Talha's piety. He heard this ayat, look what he's brought to me. Everybody knew Abu Talha loves Bayruha. It's the best garden, the best orchard of Medina. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is surprised. He said, "Bakhin, bakhin, bakhin." It's a word that you use in Arabic, which you use out of amazement, out of shock. Rasulullah is saying, "Subhanallah, bakhin, bakhin, bakhin." Dhalika malun rabihun. O Abu Talha, this is a very, very lucrative asset. This is a very valuable asset, a very lucrative asset. Dhalika malun rabihun. وَقَدْ سَمِعْتُ مَا قُلْتَ وَإِنِّي أَرَىٰ أَن تَجْعَلَهَا فِي الْأَقْرَبِينَ. O Abu Talha, I've heard what you have to say. Meaning, you want to give it in charity, I've heard this, I've accepted this. But what I want you to do is, I want you to go and spend it on your family members. Because like we mentioned last week, the whole chapter, spending on your family members is the best form of charity. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, spend it on your family members. فَقَالَ أَبُو طَلْحَا أَفْعَلُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Sayyidina Abu Talha radiallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, I will do this. فَقَسَّمَهَا أَبُو طَلْحَةَ فِي أَقَارِبِهِ وَبَنِي عَمِّهِ. Sayyidina Abu Talha رضي الله عنه distributed this amongst his relatives and amongst his cousins. So this is one incident that's mentioned. This is the only incident that's been mentioned in this chapter to show us how the Sahaba, when it came to spending, they did not spend from extra money. I don't know what to do with this. A couple of pennies. You know when people bring pennies, gather all the pennies. I'm not going to do anything with it anyway. Whole jar of pennies, bring it and give it to the masjid, give it in charity. They would spend from money that they would miss. And that's why in one hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions, أَفْضَلُ الصَّدَقَةِ أَن تَصَدَّقَ وَأَنْتَ صَحِيحٌ شَحِيحٌ تَخْشَى الْفَقْرَ وَتَأْمَلَ الْغِنَى. He mentioned four conditions. He said that the best charity is the charity a person gives when he is healthy, شَحِيحٌ, he desires wealth. He still has the desire for wealth, he's young and he wants to buy a house, he needs to buy a car, he needs to bring food home. So he has a desire for wealth. تَخْشَى الْفَقْرَ, he is worried about becoming poor, meaning he is worried about his having less, you know, income or less money. وَتَأْمَلَ الْغِنَىٰ, and he does want to become financially dependent. So he has all of these needs, and then he gives in sadaqah. This is the best type of sadaqah. And the person who has too much, surplus, hundreds of pounds, thousands of pounds, and they give a small amount, something that they would never miss, something that they would spend on their dinner or their lunch or their breakfast or something. This is not something which is very valuable in the sight of Allah Ta'ala, because it's not something which is going to affect a person when they spend. You know, when this ayat was revealed, another sahabi, Sayyidina Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu anhu, he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, Ya Rasulullah, this ayah has been revealed. The sahaba would come straight away. Ya Rasulullah, this ayah has been revealed, and I have been thinking, what's the most beloved wealth to me, or most beloved possession to me? And I thought, this is the one I love the most, so I'm going to give this in sadaqah, in charity. Sayyidina Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu anhu, he brought this horse that he valued. It was very expensive and he had, you know, looked after it very well. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I want to give this horse in charity. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took it and he gave it to his son Usama bin Zayd. So Zayd radiallahu anhu gave this horse in charity. Rasulullah took it off him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then he gave it to Zayd's son Usama. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looks at Zayd's face and he sees Zayd's face, you know, change. And he's giving it back to his son. Like, if I come and give something in charity and then my son brings it back home, it's like, what, I give this in charity to somebody else? So Rasulullah saw sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Zayd's face changed. And he said, oh Zayd, whatever you've given for and the intention you've had is happened, it's been accepted by Allah Ta'ala. And this is something separate. So many times this happens, subhanAllah, there was one sahabi, he gave some charity at night time, his zakat. And he just gave it in the hand of a poor person. And it happened to be his son. لَكَمَا نَوَيْتَ يَا يَزِيدُ وَلَكَمَا أَخَذْتَ يَا مَعَنْ. Sayyidina Yazid was the sahabi and his son was called Ma'an. So at night time he went, he gave some charity and his son needed it and he didn't know it was his father, he just took it. In the morning he realizes my son is the one who took my zakat money. So he said, you can't take it, I need to. And Sayyidina Ma'an said, well, you gave it to me, I'm not going to give it back. So this was brought to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiled. And he said, لَكَمَا نَوَيْتَ يَا يَزِيدُ. Oh Yazid, whatever niyat you had, whatever intention you made, Allah Ta'ala accepted that. وَلَكَمَا أَخَذْتَ يَا مَعَنْ. Oh Ma'an, whatever you took, it was fine for you to take it. Because it wasn't something that you did on purpose, that you took your father's zakat money. This happened very, it was a very strange thing that happened, but it shows that your rizq was written for you in this manner. So many times these things used to happen, and we learn lessons from all of these things. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to understand and act upon these ayat and these hadith, and to live our lives like the lives of the Sahaba. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Subhanallah, bihamdi, subhanakallahu, bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.